Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus, right? It's Christmas time. And it's time that we understand who Jesus is and how we ought to worship Him. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. During the reign of King Herod, about that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw His star as it rose, and we have come to worship Him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. What a beautiful, beautiful story. Amen. I don't know about you, but when Christmas comes around, I think a lot about the time that I got saved. The time I actually met Jesus personally and got to know who He was. And so much of my life, well, all of my life up until when I came to know Christ, and even that whole, I got saved kind of after Christmas, you know, in the new year. And then I spent about 8-9 months as a brand new believer and never even thought about Christmas because Christmas was Santa Claus to me. And there was this baby in a thing, and I was like, "Who's the baby?" I never figured it out. Now, don't judge me for not being smart. I just never knew. And when my first Christmas rolled around, I remember how impacting it was to me. And every Christmas, I think about when I got saved, every single Christmas. And it's an amazing transition from the time before you know Jesus till after your encounter with Him. It's an amazing transition to cross over and begin celebrating this season, understanding who Jesus really is in your life and in your heart and what He has done for you personally. It changes everything when you understand how to worship Jesus. Amen? It really changes the whole season. Let's pray. Lord, we love You today. We honor You today, God, that You truly lived. You came. This is not a fictional story, God. This is reality. This is what You really did. We honor You today, this Christmas. We give You our hearts, God, and we give You all of the worship and all of the honor and all of the glory that You truly deserve for what You did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's not fiction. This story isn't fiction. It's fact. I mean, it happened something like that I'm not sure if the music was in the background. Definitely not the way I was doing it. Certainly did add for dramatic effect. But that really happens. And that really, because it really happened, it means something to us. The greatest event in world history, right there. No greater event. If God didn't come and live and be one of us, He couldn't have died. Which is the greatest sacrifice and most meaningful sacrifice for each one of us. But if He didn't first come, then He would never have the opportunity to die for our sins. Jesus, His coming, changed the world forever. Nothing has ever been the same since He came. The whole world has completely transformed and changed. No world government has ever ruled the entire world ever again since Jesus established His government. He said, to My government, there will be no end. It's awesome. Love the Daniel prophecy. You've heard me talk about it before, where God says that He'll cut a mountain out of, you know, the rock, or a rock out of the mountain, and He hurls it at all the governments, and they all collapse. And that mountain grows and takes over the whole world. That's the kingdom of God. It's awesome to think about. You and I are a part of that love relationship, that reality, not fictional story. How fun. How meaningful. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the Son, the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's the truth. He really came. Fully God, fully man. Philippians 2 says that He humbled Himself and became like us. What a God. What a God that would humble Himself to come be like us. One of the questions that I asked, and I did ask, especially when I first got saved, when I heard this story, and even before I was a Christian, I'm like, why? Why is there a baby in a manger? I remember for years asking that question. Why is there a baby in a manger? It made no sense to me. But you and I might still be asking that question, or need to be reminded, re-reminded, of why He came in a manger. John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. Love, right? Love is the answer. Love is the reason God came as a baby for you and I. He had a specific purpose in this love relationship that He so desired to have with you and me, with us right here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us. What? Even before God made the world, He loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do. Do you see that? This is what He wanted to do. Not had to do or did reluctantly. This is what God wanted to do. And it gave Him great pleasure. How awesome is this? How awesome is this, church? I mean, this is the God that loves us, that we get to know personally, is that from the beginning of time, He desired us. He knew us. He wanted us. And it gave Him great pleasure to do all that He did, to humble Himself and become like one of us, to live and to die and to make that ultimate sacrifice so that we could know Him. It gave Him great pleasure. Verse 6, so we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom from the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Look, God knew, God loved, and God did. God knew in advance. You. See, so much of my life, when I first came to the Lord, and even the first few years or maybe half of my Christian walk, I always had this feeling that God was this reactive God that got Himself into kind of a big mess with all these people. I know my theology is way off on there, but that's just how I always processed it and thought about, you know, oh, God made man, and what He really wanted was for man to be perfect all the time and never make a mistake and live this perfect life, and they'd always be in intimacy. God's smarter than that. God knows everything. God knows the end from the beginning. I used to think that when Adam and Eve sinned, it surprised God. And then, well, I better give them Abraham, and then I got to give him the law, and then I got to give him this, and like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Now I got to send my son? What more do you want from me? You know? I don't know if you ever thought this way, but I thought this way, like, oh man, we're terrible, and then all my sin just nailed Jesus to the cross. Do you know that your sin did not nail Jesus on the cross? Your sin did not nail Him to the cross. He knew. It gave Him great pleasure to do this. He wanted you. And He knew you needed forgiveness for your sin. So He did nail your sin to the cross. Because He's that good. Because He knew in advance you. He knew each one of us and wanted to adopt us into His family. That's so sweet. That's so great. You know, sometimes we have good intentions as people, don't we? And you can feel like I know somebody's need, right? And I love them enough. Like I love them. I really want to help them. But then to actually help them to do it, that's harder, isn't it? And sometimes we fall short there, don't we? In the doing. Because it's hard. Sometimes a sacrifice is too much for what we feel like we can do or make, and we fall short. But we don't have a God like that. We have a God who knew in advance. And before He created the world and started this whole process, He's not reactive, He's preemptive.
You know that? He's a preemptive God. He knew what he would do. He knew he would humble himself and he would come as a baby and he would fulfill his promise. He would do it, even though it was hard, because it was worth it. You know what was worth it? You were worth it. You were worth it. I was worth it to him. That's how vast and how deep and how wide the love of God is for his people. It's all worth it. And aren't you glad we serve a God that's a follow-through kind of God? Right? He's the kind of God that does, he promises something and does it. He keeps his word. He knows you and he desires you and he loves you. And that he also did what it took for you and I to know him. And we could be a part of his family. When Pastor David Peterson was preparing a sermon, his little daughter came in and asked, "Daddy, can we play?" "I'm awfully sorry, sweetheart, but I'm right in the middle of preparing this sermon. In about an hour, I can play," her dad said. "Okay," she said. "When you're finished, I will give you a great big hug." She went to the door, and then she did a U-turn, and she came back, and she gave her dad a bone-breaking hug. "You said you were going to give me a hug after I finished," her dad said, teasing. "I wanted you to know what you have to look forward to," the little girl said. God wanted us to know through the first coming at Christmas how much we have to look forward to in his great second coming. You know, Jesus coming and us celebrating and remembering what Jesus did, it's like the little girl coming in and giving us a taste. This is what you're going to get. Bone-breaking hug, right? Jesus' love coming into the world, meeting you and I, and living inside of us, alive inside of each one of us, is this pursuit of love, this big hug that just comes in and wraps us up and gives us a taste of what it's going to be, what it's going to be like when we get to go into eternity with our loving God because of what he did and how good he is. Amen. Man, what a great taste. And I remember the time, I remember the day, I remember the second, the moment. It's like in slow motion for me when I gave my heart to Jesus. It was magical for me. I mean, not magical, mystic magical, but like it was a magical moment for me that is so powerful. Reshaped my thinking, reshaped my whole life when he came to dwell inside of me. And I chose him and received him, received what he did. What about you? What do you remember at Christmas time? Do you remember this encounter, this love encounter? And do you hope for what's coming next? See, when we see Jesus coming, we're not only looking back, but we're looking forward as we worship Jesus. At Christmas, we're looking forward to our new life and our new bodies. Hallelujah. Right? Come on. There's nothing like it. See, these magi, these wise men, you know, they were not Jews. These were what we would call Gentiles in the Old Testament. But they studied their whole lives preparing to see, reading these signs and waiting and preparing themselves for when they would see these signs. And can you imagine the day they wake up and get out of their tent or wherever they're at and they're kind of looking up in the stars and woo, like they normally do. And they're like, whoa, wait a second. It's happening. All of a sudden, one day, it's just happening. And they're like, no, that can't be happening. Because you know, no matter how much you and I believe or they believe, they wanted to believe it was going to happen, you're going to have this doubt in the back of your mind. Is it really going to happen in my lifetime? Am I really going to see it? Come on. And then when you really see it, you're kind of like, did that really just happen? Come back, double check, triple check. What? Then the next time, the next time, the next time. They're like, pack your bags. It's time to go, right? The Magi get on their camels and they hump it out of there. Camel hump. Run. Okay. Come on now. They go through a lot of pain traveling on a camel. I don't know about you, but I don't think riding a camel could be any fun. I've seen them. They're gross. I had one trying to bite my face when I was in India one time. It was nasty. Spitting at you. Sick things. Those are grody creatures. These guys are traveling all over, you know, tarnation to get to Herod. And then they're following these signs, right? Making a huge sacrifice on a hope and a prayer that this is really happening. Can you imagine as they got closer and closer and they get to over the town, they get to Bethlehem. They're like, we're in Bethlehem. The star led us to Bethlehem. All the signs said it was going to do it. And it actually did it. And we're looking over this manger and Herod's all telling them like, hey, if you actually find the kid, you know, tell me. I want to go worship him too. Of course, we know he had bad intentions, but I'm sure everybody's kind of like crossing their fingers, hoping it's really going to happen. Can you imagine every step of the way they see one more miracle after another and it becomes more of a reality to them until they walk into the manger and there they see the virgin with her baby. Wow. I think the movie did a really good job showing their expression like this is happening. And they get down, they begin to present their gifts which they had prepared in advance to give to Jesus. And the gifts that they offered were more than just a practical, you know, meeting of the needs of the young family. They were a prophetic sign and symbol of worship to who Jesus is. A prophetic symbol worshiping Jesus for who he really is. And the movie draws this out where it says when the Magi brings the gold down to, you know, the feet of Jesus, and he bows down and worships Jesus. The gold represents royalty, right? And the royalty of Christ, that he truly is the King of all kings. And like I said before, his government will have no end. How awesome is that? He lays it down. Then we see the next Magi come and lay down an offering of frankincense, which... incense were burned by the priests. And they were the ones in charge of worship during the tabernacle and the temple in the days of the old covenant. And so when they come and he worshiped and he brings incense, he is declaring that Jesus, you are the priest of all priests. And Hebrews says he is the ultimate high priest, the final high priest. There will be no other. In fact, to his priesthood, there will be no end. Amazing, at the birth of Jesus, God brings these prophetic symbols in to say, he's going to be King of all kings. We're going to worship him from the time he's born as the priest of all priests, the high priest whose priesthood will live forever. He's the compassionate high priest that Hebrews says, that he knows our weaknesses because he came and he lived as one of us. And then the third gift from the Magi was brought, and it was the gift of myrrh, which they used in burial and symbolized death and suffering and sacrifice. And he says in the movie, they said they put it together really well where they say, to honor your sacrifice, even as a baby. Jesus came with a purpose. Jesus came as God. Wow. Wow. When you worship, when I worship, do we worship Jesus with a purpose? And at Christmas,
when we do the exchanging of gifts. That's how I give gifts.
Yeah.
You've got to give them with attitude, right? You don't do that? Okay. Do you and I want to challenge us to think about these gifts that declare who Jesus really is. And when we exchange gifts, for this reason. Can we take a moment and pause and say, God, right now I want to honor you and thank you and worship you, Jesus, for who you are as my King, the King of all kings, the priest of all priests, and as my Lord and Savior. And as I give this gift to somebody else, God, I'm doing it honoring you and worshiping you for who you are. And maybe even in our families, we can take a second and stop before we kick the tree over and throw all the presents up and fill up the dumpster, right? With all the wrappings. Maybe we could take a second and tell our kids and the loved ones around us and the people that we exchange gifts to and say, listen, the reason I'm giving you this gift, I do love you and care about you. But it's because I worship the King of Kings, the priest of all priests, the God of all gods, and my Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the ultimate gift. And I'm celebrating him today. And I love him and honor him. And that's why I want to give you a gift today, is because of what Jesus did in me, for me, and for you. Wouldn't that change some of the hustle and bustle? Some of our perspective? Because he really did make a sacrifice for us, didn't he? You know, a woman was doing her last minute Christmas shopping at a crowded mall, and she was tired of fighting the crowds and standing in lines, and she was tired of fighting her way down the long aisles looking for a gift that had already been sold out a day before. Her arms were full of bulky packages when an elevator door opened and it was full. The occupants in the elevator grudgingly tightened the ranks to allow a small space for her and her load. As the doors closed, she blurted out, "Whoever's responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot. Merry Christmas to you, too." And a few others nodded their heads and grunted in agreement. Then from somewhere in the back of the elevator came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they already crucified him." It's not supposed to be funny. It's true, though, isn't it? And we lose perspective sometimes of what really, really happens. Is it Jesus really paid the price for us to live an eternity with him? And sometimes we lose perspective when we're making all these sacrifices for people, working hard, making turkeys, making ham, making, you know, cranberry sauce, or is this Thanksgiving or pumpkin rolls and cookies, and I don't know what you guys eat, but I eat everything that gets put in front of me. Right? Fudge? And then presents? My poor mother-in-law? Oh, man, she's got to wrap a lot of presents. She has like 17 grandkids. Got to shop for every single one. And then we can lose perspective, can't we? We have to keep this perspective that Christmas is about worshiping Jesus and his sacrifice, who he is to us. He really was crucified. He really did die for us. It's really, really real. Amen? And because it's so real, it becomes very, very personal to each one of us. I want us to remember every day if we can, from here on out, but especially at Christmas time, re-remind ourselves of how important Jesus, who he really is, what he really did, how important that is to us very personally as our King, as our God, our priest, and as our Savior. Amen? So will you stand with me? Father, we love you today. You're so good. We do. We worship you. We declare you as King. We declare you as God, as Lord, as our High Priest who knows us. And God, we declare you as our Savior. We worship you for those things you did for us because you wanted us before you even made the world. You desired us to be a part of your family and you made a way for that. And it gave you great pleasure to make a way for us to know you. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Love you. Make a disciple. Come on. Love somebody. Lead somebody to Jesus. Teach them about who Jesus is to you. Share the love of Jesus that's in your heart with someone who needs it. He died for them too. He did all we talked about today for them too. God bless you. Have a very Merry Christmas.